Just a disclaimer, we are not doctors, we are not medical professionals, we are just two girls who have survived sepsis that are navigating their recovery.
If there is anything that you are seriously struggling with, we urge you to contact a GP. And if you think that you might have sepsis, you should seek immediate medical care, as sepsis is life-threatening and time-critical.
We just wanted to pop a little trigger warning in as well that this podcast may contain content that listeners find distressing.
Please listen with care and always remember to be kind to yourselves where possible.
Hi guys, and welcome back to the Surviving and Thriving podcast. We are back, and this time we are speaking about the emotional symptoms and I guess you could say side effects of post-sepsis syndrome, and just diving into that a little bit more. Obviously, I just kind of want to preface that especially this topic can be quite a sensitive one. So just listen with caution. For both of us, there might be things that we don't want to talk about or things that perhaps we've never shared. So as always, this is a super safe space for everyone. So we are just leading with love, and yeah, we're just very excited to speak on this topic.
Yeah, so when we speak about emotional symptoms of post-sepsis syndrome, we're talking about things such as guilt, which we've covered. So I think we'll go over that one because we spoke
Yeah.
about that a couple of episodes previously. So we're talking about guilt, depression, insomnia, grief, which we spoke about a little bit as well, PTSD and anxiety, and a really lovely one actually being new perspective, which I'll talk about at the end because I think it'll be a nice like wrap up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with grief, which I think we have sort of covered a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, before this, like maybe some physical and mental health issues, but nothing debilitating. So I don't know, I feel like you sort of have to like mourn you that you were and that you're not anymore, because obviously life's changed so much.
Yeah.
And like any grief, it's just a process. There's no end to grief. And every day is different. Like sometimes I'm really sad. Sometimes I can be angry. Sometimes I can be happy. Sometimes I can feel helpless. And it's just that, like taking each day as it comes.
For sure, and I think that if we speak about grief, it's a really, I'd say nice isn't the word, but it's a really comforting word to have around the way you feel, because sometimes half the frustration for me, like post receiving help and speaking to people, was that I just couldn't put my finger on the emotion I was feeling because I didn't think it was that valid to feel grief over basically someone dying. I didn't know that you could kind of use the term grief. And it can be really helpful to put a word on something. I personally, for me, I'm not very good with wishy-washy. And just using the word and the term grief and the way that made me feel really aligned quite nicely. And it definitely made me feel less alone. And bouncing off what you said again is that, you know, we can talk in these episodes about feeling sad, feeling frustrated, feeling angry, but also there are times when you feel happy and excited and grateful and thankful. And I know we said we're not going to go into guilt because we spoke about it, but you know, it's okay to feel those emotions. Like, you don't owe it to yourself or owe it to anyone else to only feel sad about something that's happened.
Yeah,
Same with
100%.
grief. Like, it's okay to feel happy. You don't have. There's not this, I feel like sometimes there's this pressure that you feel like you should constantly be sad because you've been through something really sad. But the more you just allow yourself to feel what you're feeling, which sounds like a stupid term, but just to let your feelings just sit there, the better the outcome,
And that's
really.
hard.
Yeah,
That's
definitely.
so hard.
Yeah.
But that's so hard. But you do have to just, like you said, you just got to sit through it and, like, you know that that feeling will pass. But there's no point trying to, like, push it away. I think anything that make it worse.
It's a boomerang. If you try and push a feeling away, especially when it's around situation as big or as traumatic as this, it even if you feel like you've pushed it away in the moment, it's only going to come back 10 times stronger. So sometimes you just have to be like, okay, I'm having a bad day today. That's fine. Like, I'm still going to do, like, try and allow yourself to still live life with that feeling. I think sometimes it's spoken about a lot, especially in social media, of like, I want to rot in my bed when I'm feeling sad. But if that's how you want to deal with it, that's absolutely fine. But also, sometimes just going about your everyday life with the knowledge that you're having a bad day is also okay as well.
Absolutely. And following on from that, like the anxiety that comes with that as well, especially being young and people making assumptions about your health based on young, fit, active, and then maybe feeling like you can't ask for the help that you need because people have already just labeled you as young, fit, healthy. She doesn't need any help. She's fine. There's a lot of anxiety around that, and anxiety of like, oh, I am sort of like this new person now, and how do I navigate that? And what do I do when I need help? And are people going to take this seriously? Because you can't see that I'm not doing well, because a lot of the symptoms are invisible, aren't they, to the outside world?
Hidden disability for sure. And I think also, like, in terms of anxiety, it's really important to speak about health anxiety because this is something that I think a lot of people that perhaps are listening to this that haven't had sepsis can relate to, is that there's always this underlying worry that if you get a cold, the first time you get a cold after having sepsis, the first time, like, it's really worrying, and
It is
you're having to
anything.
navigate life in recovery along with the fact that you're basically frightened that everything might happen again, which is a big thing to live with.
100%. It's so
It's like
scary.
if someone has a car crash, you don't just expect someone to have a car crash and then get straight back in the driver's seat and be like, yeah, but like the likelihood of you having a car crash again is not that high. You're like, well, thanks, mate, but I'd rather not put myself in that situation.
Exactly. No, I get that. And unless you've been through something like that, people won't be able to understand or relate to that feeling. Depression is a very scary symptom, because depression can make you feel so awful and helpless, and you can really struggle to stay positive. And I also feel like in off the back of this, after like a near-death experience, I think people think that you should have this new lease of life.
Euphoria,
And if you don't have that, which I don't at the moment, and I wish I did, but I don't at the moment, then like, what's wrong with you then? Because why don't you have that? But I think it's hard to keep moving forward when you've had so many obstacles, and this like every day's different. I
Yeah, I
think that.
think if you're listening to this as a family member or someone who is supporting someone that's had sepsis, it's just really important, well, from a personal point of view, that you understand that the way that your loved one is acting has absolutely no correlation to how they feel about you or love they have for you, because I know that I was a horrible person to be around for the first year, year and a half, even probably recently, to be around when I'm feeling like that, because the only safe space you have is the people you love. So then you end up taking out the way you're feeling on those people that you love, which can so easily be miscommunicated as a personal attack. And I know it's so hard to give grace to people that, let's be honest, are being nasty. Like, that's the way that I felt I was when I was in that headspace. But it's just so important that you fight, like, you're not fighting fire with fire. You're just like being there for that person, not smothering them. It's so hard, but you just have to let them be
Of
and help
course.
them if they want help. And if they don't want help,
You just have to be there.
unfortunately,
You just have to be.
you have to be there for them.
Which is hard, because like there's no manual for helping someone recover, but just being there is all I would say is the biggest thing. we've spoke about this a lot as well. Maybe we'll do like a whole episode on this, but PTSD, we've spoke about that in the
Oof.
last couple of
Yeah.
episodes, but I think maybe we should go into an episode on that. And I know
I
we've spoken
think,
about it, but
yeah.
there's just so much to unpack with PTSD. But
It's
in another
a really difficult topic, I think, to speak on because, there's such a variety of things with PTSD, and I think that sometimes with PTSD it could feel like you're not ticking a box, so therefore it's not valid the way you're feeling. But PTSD,
Yeah.
the same with anything we talk about on this podcast, everything is so individual. What
Yeah.
we say is not what goes, like our experiences are not what defines a situation. But I think you're right, going perhaps we should log that for another time
Because it's such a big one to unpack. But
and
yeah.
sometimes the people, like, we'll just dive into it a little bit now, 'cause like we have the other things, that sometimes the person that is suffering with PTSD doesn't know that they're suffering with PTSD. It doesn't always come out in a, Oscar award-winning movie flashback. Like, it doesn't always happen like that. So
No.
if you're noticing that in someone, perhaps they're not noticing it themselves, so it's a really hard thing to navigate.
100%. But yeah, I think although we've gone into PTSD quite a few times, I do feel like I could keep talking about it.
Oh, honestly.
Because like the flashbacks and everything, and it's not just the illness, it's then your time in hospital. So I think we'll do like a whole episode on that. I think people would like to hear that. And then guilt was on there, but obviously, like we've spoken a little bit about guilt and everything, haven't we, in like the few episodes. And then I really love this, and I think that this is like a light at the end of the tunnel for anyone listening.
Can we rewind? Did we speak about sleep?
Oh, sorry, insomnia.
Only
Sorry.
because I really want to speak about this one because
Yes.
it was probably the biggest thing for me, and honestly still is, that can make or break my day. I think that you're trying to, I don't know why I keep using cars as a flipping thing, but if you're trying to drive a car that has no fuel in the tank, it's not going to run properly.
And
And
especially if your job.
honestly, tell me about it. But it's so, I think insomnia is such a tricky one, or like, even if you don't want to define it as insomnia, any sleep difficulty,
Oh,
it's
horrible.
really hard because you want to sleep so badly and you're so exhausted, but you can't sleep. So then, on top of the fact that you are sleep deprived, which is unhealthy for anyone, you're then frustrated that you can't sleep and you just wind yourself up in this circle. And I remember before I had spoken to someone about it, I swear on my life, probably about for the first 3 months after coming out of hospital, I don't think I had more than like 3 hours sleep a night.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The falling asleep was the worst part for
Yeah.
me. I was shattered and I was laying there and it got really bad for me actually. I'd be like 2, 3 a.m. wide
Yeah.
awake and your partner's asleep or your parents are asleep. So you've got nobody and the
Yeah.
nighttime's so hard because you're alone. Everything's shut. It's not even like you can get up and go out. Not that you would because it's not safe, but
Yeah.
there's nothing for people who don't sleep.
And I think,
Oh, and it just puts you in such an awful mood, doesn't it?
yeah, and that time when no one else is awake, you're awake, that is when those
Oh, the thought
thoughts
of him.
fester so much.
So bad. It's really
And
horrible
I
feeling.
honestly used to dread going
No,
to sleep.
so did I.
I used to be
It
like, oh my God, it's
so did
8 o'clock at night, it's
I. No,
coming, it's coming.
coming. So did I, like this doom. It's
Yeah.
really awful, that is,
I
isn't
know.
it?
And I really remember just one specific memory. It was downstairs. I fell asleep on the sofa at like in the evening because I think it's just like a different, like I wasn't in bed. And my mum woke me up and she was like, it's time to go to bed. And I remember like being, why did you wake me up? Like, just
Sleep.
let me sleep down here. I was asleep.
Did you go to sleep?
No, not for a
Oh.
while. I came up here, but I think that also insomnia is one of those things that people don't see also. So
Yeah,
like trying
yeah.
to live your life and live your day on 2 hours sleep, and no one else understands. So if you're,
I think people just go, oh, you can't sleep well.
yeah, I'm
Like
like,
they don't, no one can relate to that because
yeah.
they're like not living it. So they're just like, oh, that's a shame. And no one, it's not like, oh, that's just, people just don't really care because they're just like, oh,
Yeah.
that's, like, oh,
And I think
please sleep more
all,
because I need someone to validate this. Like, I can't sleep.
yeah, I think all of the emotional symptoms of PSS are also massively like heightened when you are experiencing no sleeps. The same, like,
Yes.
everything feels like the end of the world when you've got no sleep because, like, you are running on empty. And it's
Oh,
so hard also that you're like trying to recover and your body needs, like, it's just so ironic that the one
need
thing
so
your
much
body
rest.
needs is to sleep, but you can't sleep. And it's just the
It's
most
awful.
frustrating thing ever.
Yeah, the no sleep was awful in the first couple. It's like, it's still not great now. Like, I'll be so tired, I'll lay down and can't sleep. But the like try in the first couple of months trying to get to sleep. Oh, it
It's,
was so awful.
I
That must
honestly,
be
like,
one of the
I
worst
just
things I
remember
went through.
the dread of going to sleep.
Sleep is so bad. Yeah, that's something I hope I never feel again because it is really awful. Like that whole feeling of like, oh my God, I've got to go to bed and I'm not going to be able to sleep, but everyone else is asleep.
Yeah, and I remember my family saying, like, right, let's go to the doctors and let's, like, get you some sleep medication. And I was so against
Any medication,
any
yeah.
medication for sleeping because I was like, I just don't want to get, and if it
Yeah.
works for you, it works for you. Like, if you want to do that, it's completely valid.
That's,
But for me, I was like, if I get into this cycle, like, I'm never gonna be
yeah.
able to break it.
Yeah. No, exactly. I get that.
So, I went to the Holland and Barrett and got myself some melatonin, but I was trying to do everything natural as much as I could. But
Yeah.
again, like, sometimes I just think that these things just have to, you just have to
Yeah.
ride the wave.
Yeah, you do, which is horrible because that's a horrible ride to wave out, but
Yeah, it will. And again, like, I know we say this to a
it
lot,
will pass, yeah.
it will pass. Like,
Yeah.
even like, I still like have sleepless nights now, but it's so much like, it feels so much less impactful now than it did
100%.
at that time. So just like, if you're going through it right now, like, it's tough, it's awful, but it's going to pass.
100%, yeah. And then off the back of that, new perspective. Not every symptom is negative. A near-death experience can give you new perspective on life. And there's nothing quite like realizing your own mortality, like that it makes you care less about meaningless things. And it gives you more patience with yourself. And I do think that it helps you enjoy the little things in life more. It's weird. It's like you can just be more vulnerable and you're more empathetic and you feel like being a human more. I don't know if that makes
Yeah,
sense.
and I think
Maybe we could like do a
definitely.
big episode on new perspective because I think like it would be nice to talk about something positive.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And you can like, it's exciting to think, I'm not that person now, but I'm a new person. And that's exciting.
It definitely gives you, like, I definitely felt, obviously, when I was 21 at the time of coming out of hospital, and it definitely gives you like this new sense of maturity, like. And also just like new perspective, but also just like knowing yourself, like,
Yeah,
especially
100%. You
at
know
in
yourself
your early
so much more.
20s, you can be in an identity crisis and be like, I don't know who I am, like.
Yeah.
And I think going through something like this just makes you sure that, like, makes
Oh,
you
I know.
really sure of yourself and the person that you are,
100%.
which is a really not like,
Such a nice feeling.
yeah.
We'll go into that more because I do feel like that's a positive subject to talk about, and I would like to talk about that, like in a give it its own space to really like go into that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's such a nice, like a lot of that is the only positive.
Yeah.
So,
Probably. Yeah.
yeah, I think it is.
And I guess, like, when we're talking new perspective as well, like, it doesn't have to be, like we said earlier, this like
Epiphany.
full life epiphany, and that you're like, right,
We've
I've been
epiphany.
doing my life completely wrong, and now I'm gonna go and change my career and change where I live and
Yeah, that's
move,
not what we're saying. Yeah.
like, to Australia. It doesn't have to be that, but what I think is really nice about it is that, like Olivia said, as like everything feels so much when you're going through sepsis recovery that sometimes this new perspective in enjoying smaller things is so refreshing, and you're just like, I might feel like I'm going through a really bad time right now, but like at least I'm going through it. Like I could have not been here. Like there's, and I think sometimes when you're struggling with your mental health, like in any situation, it's really easy to like, sounds bad, but like become the victim. But
100%.
it's really important that we also allow ourselves to see this new perspective and lean into it. And like, again, like it all links together. You're feeling depressed, anxious, PTSD. You then feel guilt, which then tries to block out this new perspective that you have. And you have to let everything just like be their own thing. Like you're allowed to feel this new perspective. You don't have to feel guilty for feeling this new perspective. And if you are, that's also allowed to be a parallel to feeling
It's
anxious
valid.
and depressed.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything you've said there.
Why, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Why, thank you very much. I try my hardest. But I guess in terms of the emotional side of things, it can be the most difficult to reach out for help for because it can feel very vulnerable. It can feel like you
Lonely.
are weak. It can feel like you're lonely. And I just want to, you know, we've like me and Olivia here, we're on like both sides. I've had professional help and Olivia hasn't as of yet. And you know, we're like both are like valid, and you know, we're exactly in the right place and where we should be. But it will be like interesting that if Liv decides to go to therapy or counseling or whatever it is, to then like when she feels ready to share how she found that, especially after the way you're feeling right now of like, oh, it will be nice for our audience to hear that like, do you know, even if you came back and was like, not for me,
For
like
me,
that's okay
quite
as well.
yeah, of course. It's just the courage to go, but hopefully I'll
And
get.
accessibility wise, like let's not forget that it is such a luxury
Expensive,
to be able
yeah, it's
to
expensive and it's a
afford
commitment.
this. Don't feel guilty if the reason that you're not kind of accessing this is because of a financial situation. And you know, there are free resources available, but like without being like, I think you should do it no matter what, from someone that's accessed it and it has helped them a lot, I do think that there is a place for it, and it is so helpful.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. You're right.
And you know, it happens when it's meant to happen. Like
Course, yeah.
these things can't be rushed or pushed.
Exactly. And it will happen. You'll reach a point where you know yourself that okay, this is getting ridiculous now.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah.
But we have one more episode of our mini PSS
Debunking series.
left, and we're gonna speak about the physical symptoms, which I know for both me and Liv is like
Maybe a little bit of a longer one.
maybe a bit of a longer one. And in that, we're going to speak about how movement can also like be a positive impact on a recovery. Because I think a lot of the
100%.
time we
So
speak
important.
about how frustrating it is to have these physical symptoms, but also then how we use, because both of us use movement and exercise as a therapy for what we've been through, and I think it'll be really nice to kind of share that with other people, and they might be able to implement those kind of things into their recovery and into their lives.
100%. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Me too, for sure. But
Thank you for
thank you
listening.
guys for listening. We are back and better than ever now. We are holding ourselves
A roll.
accountable in 2025. And we're just very excited for what
We
this year
are.
has to bring.
Yes, we are.
Okay. We love you. We will speak to you very
Love
soon.
you all.
And have a lovely week. Goodbye.
Bye.